If you're a regular Science Friday listener, you might recall that a few years ago, we reported this study back then, that researchers were able to stop light. That's it. You know how fast light travels. Stop it in just a fraction of a second. It goes 186,000 miles per second in a vacuum, and they're able to stop it from moving for a fraction of a second. Well, now scientists have taken that one step further. They have actually captured light inside a solid crystal for a whole second. Not just for a fraction of a second. It's like 1,000 times more for a whole second inside the crystal. And they've let the light come out again after that second. And they say they can keep the light, if they want to, if they can, for even longer than that. The work was published in last week's Physical Review Letters. And here to talk about it is Dr. Matt Sellers. He's a research fellow at the Laser Physics Center at the Australian National University in Canberra, Australia. He took part in a study and joins us from his home very early in the morning. Welcome to Science. Good day to you, Dr. Sellers.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Why do you want to capture light and delay it sort of in a bottle, in a crystal bottle, for lack of a better term, for like a second or more?
Well, we're interested in trying to build a quantum computer, and this is one of the things that you need, the ability to store quantum information for long times, so that what we can do is to put quantum information on the light and then store it for a second, and we can go away and do other things, and then hopefully then we can come back and then use this quantum information in the next step of the program.
So it's like computer memory.
Yes, exactly.
Theoretically, how long do you think you could store the light in the crystal?
We've shown that we can store it up to now up to about a minute. We're certain we can do that. And that's about the limit of the particular material we're using. But we're switching materials, and we think we might be able to get it up to about an hour or so.
An hour of, like, RAM time or something?
Yes.
And do you think that eventually you could, you know, store it indefinitely sometime?
That I'm not sure about. That entails doing error correcting. And that's one of the big questions for quantum computing. Is error correcting going to work? And we don't know yet.
Is it possible for you to describe for us in lay terms how you actually stored the light, what you did there?
I'll have a go.
Okay.
What we start with is a crystal, and it's a silicate crystal. It looks like a piece of glass, about 5 millimeters cubed. Now, in that crystal, we've doped into it a particular ion. It's praseodymium. Now, normally, if we just shine our laser beam through that crystal, the crystal will just absorb the light. The laser pulse won't get through to the other side. But then what we do is we add a second beam of light, which we call a coupling beam. And when we turn this coupling beam on, it makes the crystal transparent to the pulse. And the pulse does propagate through the crystal. But what's sort of interesting is how slow it propagates. Rather than the 3 × 10⁸ meters per second that light normally travels at, it travels at about 100 meters per second. Now, the trick then to stopping it is when the pulse of light is inside the crystal, we turn the coupling beam off. And at that point, the light sort of gets trapped in there. Now, what was actually traveling through the crystal was not just a simple light wave, but a light coupled to a spin wave. And when we turn the coupling beam off, the wave completely reverts to a spin wave only. And in our crystal, that spin wave can maintain its characteristics for a very long time. To get the light out again, we just turn the coupling beam back on, and then the light pulse just comes out as though it was just like the light pulse we get out is just like the light pulse that we put in.
Hmm. So you have like that little time where it's stored in there when it's in
yes.
its spin wave state.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then you're able to, when you turn the other beam back on, you can read the state of the pulse.
Exactly.
And see if it's stored or not in there, and that's sort of your memory device.
Yep.
Yeah. Is this and you say you might be able to get this up to, you have it now for a minute, you might be able to hold it for an hour, theoretically?
That's right, yes.
And would that be long enough to do useful work, quantum speaking?
Quantum speaking, it's most probably a lot longer than you need. What it shows is that, in theory at least, that we can, it looks like we'll be able to store a very accurate replica of the pulse, that the pulse that we get out will be very or almost identical to the pulse we put in, and we're able to store it for with a high degree of fidelity. For most quantum applications, even a fraction of a second would be long enough. But it's so rather than a quantum memory, we almost have a quantum archive.
Oh, an archive. What kind of computers then? Are you talking about a quantum computer here, or just memory for a regular computer that uses quantum storage?
It will really, the applications would be for a quantum computer. It's the fact that it has the ability to store quantum information, and the main application for that will be quantum computing, and also for quantum networks where you're transmitting information down, quantum information down optical fibers. You might, to do packet switching and things like that, to be able to store this quantum information and hold it for brief periods and then send it down the optical fiber.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're all familiar with our own laptops and other, and the standard computer lingo, which is, we know that information is processed in a computer with little bits, ones and zeros, and things are stored as ones and zeros in a computer. Are they mm-hmm. stored the same way in a quantum computer?
Yes, we call them quantum bits. In our case, we might store it as whether a photon is there or not, or whether a nuclear spin is pointing up or down. Now, the difference with a quantum bit compared to a normal bit is that it can exist in both the 0 and the 1 state at the same time. We call it a quantum superposition state. That's the quantum side of it.
That's not confusing, then, to have it here's a 1 and a 0 at the same time?
Yes, it is a bit confusing, but it's also very handy for doing calculations. It allows you to do calculations very quickly because you can sort of do a calculation on the zero state and the one state at the same time.
And how soon do you think you can actually make this into a part of a real computer?
Well, our goal at the moment is not to make a sort of a commercial device. What we're trying to do is build a quantum computer large enough to test some of the basic algorithms, in particular some of the error-correcting algorithms I think I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And the key to quantum computing working is to be able to get these error-correcting algorithms working. And we just want to get a computer big enough to be able to test those. And I think our group and a number of other groups around the world have a chance of being able to do this the next sort of 2 to 5 years, I think.
So is it actually the same light that comes out that went in, or is it basically reconstructing the light that first came in?
Almost a philosophical question there.
Because I'm thinking, where you open a bottle, if you put light in, you close the lid fast, is the light still in there? You can't open it up because then you won't see it. It'll come out or something. Well, is this sort of an analog to that, or is it you're putting something that makes light in there, and then you open it up and it remakes the light for you?
Well, yeah. Basically, you can think about it as getting all the information, storing all the information that is on the light in the crystal, all the information about the frequency, its spatial distribution, its temporal response, storing that and then reconstructing it. But the photon you get out, it should be identical to the photon you put in. And so, quantum mechanically speaking, it's the same photon.
Yeah, quantum mechanics is that spooky place where...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us.
It's been a pleasure.
Sounds fascinating. Thanks, and good luck to you in your quantum computing.
Thanks very much.
Matt Sellers is a research fellow at the Laser Physics Center at the Australian National University in Canberra, Australia.